You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hey guys, do you like heavy metal? Do you like video games, comic books, movies, theme parks, or even cool TV shows? We've got the place for you. Metal Geeks. Time to rock out with your geek out. Here are your hosts, Kerry the Metal Geek, Dave, and George. Geek it out, fellas.
Welcome. Welcome, my friends, to episode number 195 of the Metal Geeks podcast. I am one of your hosts. I am Kerry the Metal Geek, along with...
Hi, Brutal Dave is here. Good evening.
Hi, Brutal Dave. And we also have with us Justin the Metal Detector. Hello, the Detector.
I'm detecting.
Mr. Detector.
Mr. The Detector.
Mr. The Detector. How are you guys doing tonight?
Not bad.
Hanging in there.
I see Dave pulled out a Rubik's Cube.
Oh, it's one of the toys on my desk. Yes.
Hi. Oh. Are you good at those things? I didn't know that.
I can jumble this up. This is one of the things that I learned during lockdown and Freezemageddon and all that. I can mix this up. I can probably have it solved in less than 5 minutes.
Well,
I learned how to do that a few years ago. There's a couple of methods you can use that are guaranteed to work every time.
You know, my favorite method is when you peel off the stickers and put them on a different place. That works for me.
There's actually like a pattern.
These are actually solid plastic cubes inside the frame. You can't pull them off.
That's cheating. Nice.
No, those are better because they haven't been pulled apart, so they twist better. Yeah, there's actually a method to them. I mean, you can go online and learn how to solve them in like less than 2 minutes.
Really?
There's a couple of different methods. When I was doing it in my office, when I was still in the office, I used to try to speed cube. And I think the fastest time I ever did one was about 40 seconds, but...
Wait, okay. Do you have one now, Justin?
I don't have it. I was just looking for it, but I don't have one.
Okay, I think what we need for the next episode, we need a Rubik's Cube off in the beginning of the episode. So between Dave and Justin, we're going to time it. We're going to do a live stream of this. I think this is going to work.
We had the guitar off between Dave and George, so it's all fair.
Speaking of, George isn't here this evening. He has to work early, so I guess it's way past his bedtime already. So we'll forgive him this time. That way, now we won't have to talk bad about any movies. Unless Justin doesn't like something.
We'll talk bad about movies.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's enough to go around, I'm sure.
Good. So what have you been up to, Justin, since you were our guest?
Well, I've been doing a lot of stuff. I actually built a home gym over the last month or so. I got a really nice freestanding punching bag, a heavy bag. Got a weight bench, a new weight rack, stair stepper thing.
Oh yeah,
just been working out a lot, which has been nice. Also, I've been playing a lot of Cyberpunk 2077.
You mentioned that earlier, and I was really surprised.
Well, when the game first came out, we talked about it back in December, I think. I didn't really have the time to invest in it. I played, you know, like an hour or something, and that was kind of it. And then I kept hearing how bad the game was and how many bugs there were and all that stuff. Well, 3 months has gone by and a lot of updates have been released, and I kept hearing things from other people saying that most of the bugs were improved and there was not nearly as many crashes and yada yada yada. So I figured it was a good time to jump back in, and I've been having an absolute blast with it. It's not a perfect game. There's a few things that I would definitely change, but it's got a lot of the elements of Fallout and Borderlands and, you know, games like that that I really love.
Blade Runner.
I mean, it's very, you know, cyberpunk and techno-futurish.
So you're playing on the Series S?
Series S, yes.
So you're not getting a lot of crashes or anything like that? I mean, how often is that happening?
I've probably put 45 hours into the game so far, and the game has crashed 3 times.
That's pretty good. That's acceptable, I guess. Well, I mean, zero is acceptable, but
it's frustrating when it happens. But usually it happens right after autosave is kicked in, because what triggers it is that different NPCs in the game will call you and tell you about a gig you can do or a vehicle you can purchase or whatever. And so a lot of the time you'll complete an objective. You'll get the checkpoint for it. You'll get the rewards for it. And as all that stuff's popping up on your screen, somebody will call you, because usually one objective leads to the next. But then also somehow the game is set up, and this is really stupid, to trigger a bunch of optional quests to call you at the same time. So you'll get multiple calls and the game can't handle it. that's when it crashes, is when more than two calls seem to come in at the same time.
I can't say that is, you know, I played Planet Coaster that probably 45 hours, maybe more, and it crashes a lot in the sandbox mode. Mm-hmm. They did an update last week. They released some more DLC, and I didn't realize I was playing it. I was like, holy crap, this has not crashed on me in a while. And then it crashed. But it was less than before, which is good.
You made it shy. You noticed it.
Right? You're not paying attention to me. I'm going to crash on you.
I do have to say that the storyline for Cyberpunk mm-hmm. is actually pretty solid, and they do a really good job of making you care about the NPCs, which is something that a lot of other open world games kind of struggle with.
No, I have this game and I only played maybe the first mission. Mm-hmm. Should I get back into it now that they've cleared it up a little bit?
I would. I mean, I know you're not as big into open world games like Fallout as I am.
That's okay.
I mean, you liked Assassin's Creed, and it has elements of that as well.
I like the genre. I like the cyberpunk.
Well, it's just,
like,
it's so
aesthetic
deep.
Of it.
People are ragging on the game for the glitches and the bugs and stuff and the crashing, but I think what they undertook is just tremendous. I mean, some of the missions you go on are just stuff that you wouldn't believe you'd ever see in a video game. Like one of the earlier missions I went on, this girl goes missing and you have to try to track her down. So you go from place to place to place, and eventually you learn how to do brain scan editing, which is basically somebody records like their dream, or they go into a room and they have a, you know, an implant that records everything they see. And then that file is shared as a video, and you can go into editor mode. And basically you're like a floating robot eye that can go around the room and like look at things in the room that the person saw and heard and whatever, but didn't actually retain the memory, like not a pullable memory, but it's there somewhere. So you can use that to like find out clues, and you play detective sometimes. It has like elements of the Batman Arkham games in there.
Oh, really?
It's just a lot of cool stuff. But the storyline you're going along, you have to go to some pretty dark places. I had to go and buy basically a snuff film, and then these marauders captured this woman who had some cybernetic implants they wanted, drug her into this basement, chained her to a chair, and then poured acid on her to like remove the implants. And you're viewing this as the person getting tortured. Mm. So you experience her death. And I mean, it's actually really jarring, especially if you're playing with headphones on.
Can imagine.
Wow. And then, you know, you got to go back and watch it several times to get all the clues, which is, you know,
I think this is a game that Dave would love.
I think so too. I think a lot of people would love this game because it has so much kind of for everybody in it.
It just had that bad rap when it first came out.
It did, and there is a lot of adult content, which may not be everybody's thing. You know, there's hookers and drug dealers and stuff on every corner. It's got GTA elements in it. You can steal cars from people. I do like that you can drive first person or third person.
Oh, yeah?
Initially, I was only driving first person, and it was tough, and then I figured out I could switch, and now it's a lot better. Hmm. The music in the game is phenomenal. There's like 7 or 8 different radio stations you can choose from, and one of them is pure black metal.
What?
So I've just been, yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I've been driving around listening to black metal. It's been great.
Like a known band? Who's on it?
Well, it's all fictional bands. I'm not sure who they got to actually record the music, but it's all very legit. I liked all the music I've heard so far.
It's his album of the year right now.
I don't know about that, but it's enjoyable. I'll say that. I do wish that there was a way to play the music when you're not driving. Like that's one of the things I love about Fallout, is that you can just play music all the time while you're running around and doing stuff. And I wish that was the case in Cyberpunk.
I gotcha.
Another thing is that parts of the game are extremely dark, like lighting wise. And I wish the character had like, you know, a simple implant for a flashlight or something like that, so it was easier to see in rooms that are extremely dark.
So you can't hold a gun and a flashlight at the same time?
No, and I mean, you
Doom 3 style.
Yeah, Doom 3
style. You put a bunch of like cybernetic implants in yourself. You replace your arms, your legs, your eyes, whatever. You would think there'd be some kind of retinal ability that'll allow you to see in the dark. Right?
They just announced, Dave, by the way, that Doom 3 is coming out on the PSVR. Like the entire game. Yeah. I'm like, I'm actually sort of excited for that.
It's not a bad game.
Yeah. I have it. I got the, they had a sale one day and they had about Doom 1, 2, and then 3, and then the 64 game on the Switch, so I can play them whenever I wanted to. Pretty cool.
Pretty good.
But yeah, Cyberpunk's pretty fun. I'm enjoying it a lot more than I expected to. It is a little overwhelming because the city is so massive.
Yeah.
And you're constantly getting bombarded by, you know, side quests and gigs and sale opportunities and all kinds of stuff. And it's real easy to get distracted. But the main storyline has been pretty fun so far. And all the side quests I've done have taken me to places that are pretty creative and dark and twisted. And it's not just the same type of action over and over again. Like, I feel like a lot of these kind of games fall on the same thing. It's like, go rescue this person or go kill this guy or go, you know, do this thing.
There's no escort mission, is there?
There's only been one, and I failed at it fucking miserably. Because they're like, go to this fridge out in the middle of nowhere. There's a package you have to get and bring back to this other place. So I go out to this island and I find this fridge and I open it up and there's a guy inside.
Is it Indiana Jones?
He's like, help me. No, it's this naked dude. And you throw him over your shoulder and then the guy calls you, the guy who hired you for the job. And he's like, hey, the entire Tiger Clan gang knows where you are and they're coming to kill that guy. Keep him alive. And then like 50 people show up and you're on an island with like no protection at all. And this guy, there's no way to save him, I think, except for maybe throwing him back in the fridge. But he got killed horribly. And it's pretty much the only mission I failed so far.
Wow. Sounds fun. I might have to pick that back up because I've been looking for something in depth like that to play again, you know?
The beginning of the game is so strange because it does not give you a tutorial at the beginning. Yeah. It does not really tell you what you're doing. It just throws you into the game and it's hard to figure out what's going on. It's hard to get invested in it in the beginning. Do you know what the story is actually about? Do you know anything about Johnny Silverhand or any of that stuff?
No, I don't think he's even shown up in the amount that I played.
He doesn't show up until you beat the first chapter of the game. And I didn't read anything about the game before I started playing it.
Is he like an imaginary mind character in your mind or something like that?
Well, do you want me to spoil it?
No.
I mean, it's the synopsis for the game. If you read the cover on the back of the game, it'll tell you what this is. But I didn't know about it because I bought it digitally and I didn't read anything about the game before I started playing it. But basically, he was a eco-terrorist years and years and years ago, like 50 years ago, and he got caught by the corporations he was up against, and they ripped his brain out and basically made an Ingram of it and put it on this brain chip. And your character has to break into this tower and steal the weapon. They don't know what it is.
He's Johnny Mnemonic?
Kind of, and it ends up being the chip, and the case gets damaged that protects it, so you have to put it somewhere, so you put it in your own head. Okay. And then eventually, you know, the two personalities inside your brain are trying to coexist, but he's trying to overwrite you. So you have to figure out how to work with him.
That makes sense. Wow. I might have to dive back into that. I mean, I own it and I never got to return it after everybody was complaining about it, but I was like, I know they're going to update it and I know it's going to get better. So I'm just going to wait a little bit. So maybe it's time.
I think most of the bugs and stuff are gone now. So I think I still see weird glitches and stuff, but nothing worse than what I see in a Halo game. Mm-hmm. And Halo's been out for, you know, 6 years. So,
right. What about you, Dave?
I wouldn't stress about it too much.
You've been playing any games recently?
Mostly just City Skylines.
Yeah.
Little game playing that I have done. I've been doing that.
I saw you pop up on my Steam account the other day that you were playing that. I'm like, oh, wish I could like watch people play that because it's interesting to me.
There's tons of like YouTube channels and people who, like there's like Instagram feeds and stuff like that.
No, I mean, you specifically.
Me specifically? Yeah. That's probably a way to do it.
Yeah. Are you enjoying it? I mean,
yeah, it's, getting back into it. I played it a little bit, but my old computer couldn't really run it that well.
That's right.
So my new machine is actually doing pretty well. And my city I've been working on is getting to a pretty decent size, and I'm not experiencing any slowdown, so I'm pretty happy about that.
Nice. I forgot you get that brand new computer beast.
Yep, it's pretty nice. So that's what I've been doing there. Other than that, listening to a lot of Stephen King stories.
Yeah.
Books. Yeah.
We talked about that a little while ago. I mean, what's the last one y'all listening to?
We finished Firestarter last night, which was not a story that I was familiar with. I hadn't never seen the movie or anything.
No, really?
Yeah.
I saw that. When I was young, I watched that. It's been a long time.
When she's like 6 years old.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep, exactly. It was
good. Probably one of the better stories that we've heard.
So now that you're, you know, listening to the audiobooks and stuff like that, are you going to go back and watch some movies you've never seen before and do a comparison?
Some of them. Actually, the thing that kicked us off on doing it, one of the things that kicked us off on doing it was that I wanted to watch Dr. Sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife wanted to have read the book before we watched it. And so we also listened to The Stand or The Shining.
Yeah.
Beforehand as well, so that we had both stories right in a row. And it just, we've just kept going. I don't know how many books we've listened to.
That's King books. That's cool that I
a bunch. We've listened to probably a dozen.
That's really cool that you guys do that. Are your kids there with you sometimes or
no? No.
So
not at the times that we listen.
That's
we
cool.
listen late.
I'm glad y'all, I mean, that's cool that you and your wife can just sit there and listen to audiobooks together like that. It's a bonding experience, especially with Stephen King. Get scared. Oh, good. That's cool, man.
Well, and she's a longtime fan.
Yeah.
She's been reading Stephen King for most of her life, and I didn't really. Mm-hmm. I started reading some King books some years back, but she's read way more of them than I have, and so a lot of these are redos for her. Some of them not, but yeah, it's cool. I'm actually surprised at how much I'm enjoying his writing and his storytelling.
Where do you guys listen from? Is it like what's that servers? I can't think what it's called.
Audible.
Thank you. Not a sponsor. We're the one podcast that Audible does not sponsor.
I think we listened to one on Audible, but most of them were actually checking out audiobooks from our library.
Oh, yeah.
Actually.
That's interesting.
So, yeah.
Very cool. Speaking of checking out stuff from the library, George had recommended that movie was Anthony Mackie. The futuristic was the drug and stuff like that.
Synchronic. Yeah.
I watched that from my library on the Hoopla app. Very interesting. It was very, very easy. I never had rented a movie from there before, or checked out a movie. You just play it on the app and stream it right to your TV. You're good to go. Very interesting movie. I didn't like it at first, but it very much became a good sci-fi weird thriller movie, you know?
If you liked it, you should go and check out the other films that Benson and Moorhead have done.
I would like to, because aren't they going to be doing the Moon Knight series, right?
Yeah, they're doing Moon Knight. But if you go back and you look for The Endless, that's one of my favorites. It's really good.
Okay.
Spring is really good. And then the other one is Resolution, I believe it's called.
I don't know. They had done so many movies. I'll have to check them out. I'm going to be doing an episode of Matinee Heroes this weekend with Craig Price. And
I'm sorry.
Don't say that.
I'm joking.
And
I like Craig.
We're doing Jojo Rabbit, so I'm rewatching that right now.
Oh, I am sorry.
I haven't watched that yet.
You haven't watched Jojo? I love that movie.
I hated that movie.
Yeah.
You hate Joy, so.
That's what Catherine and George keep telling me.
You hate Taika. You hate Joy. I got to actually recast that movie, so I'm trying to figure what I'm going to do there. Should be interesting, but I will tell you the game that I have been playing a lot of. Been playing my Switch a little bit. I have the new Mario 3D World remake, and I just downloaded on Friday the new Ghosts and Goblins. Holy crap. It's a redo of the original game. It is so fucking difficult.
Yeah, I have the original on SNES.
It's
almost impossible.
It's a lot of fun. I have it on the easiest level, too, because you're playing and you're like, do you want to go down a level? I'm like, yes. And I swear, I tried to beat this this boss like maybe 40 times. It was just, but you get past it, you're like, yeah, all right, I'm done. It's just
the original was super tough, so I can imagine the remake's even tougher.
And I've been playing a lot of Hitman recently. I beat Hitman 3 finally. The one level that I really want to talk about, I talked to Dave about this the other day. It's like the second level in the game. And this game is so open how many ways you can actually take care of your contract and what you can do. But your contract in this game was to kill this old lady. And you go to their house. It's like an old English countryside manor. And you're there during the funeral of the patriarch. And it was very much like you could do it a couple ways. The way that I chose is there was a private detective that showed up. I knocked him out and took over his place. So the rest of that level became more of a searching around the level, talking to people, getting their alibi, searching for clues until you finally had enough clues. You could make your, say who you're going, who's the actual killer of the dad, the patriarch, to try to get into the room with the mother. And then you could kill her from there.
It was like gotcha. A reverse murder mystery.
Yeah. Well, you're performing the murder mystery stuff.
Who to frame?
Yeah, basically. Yeah, basically. And I framed the butler, of course, because the butler did it.
Of course, he did.
But it's so good. I finally got the first and second game, 1 and 2, installed into 3. Where you can combine them all together. And apparently, I haven't tried it yet, but you could play all 3 of the games in VR on PlayStation, which seems very interesting to me. But I just beat the second level on Hitman 2 earlier tonight, which was really cool. You're in a I think it's Miami. You're like at a car racing event, and just everything about it. One of the people that you have to kill is one of the racers, so you have to wait for them to finish, and you have to pretend like you're giving them some kind of IV drip or something, and then you can kill them from there. There's just a lot of ways to perform the missions, and like you get points for what you do it and which you, and like at the end of the levels, like there's this grid that shows up of all these different ways you could do things. I got like 5 of them out of like 40. I'm like, all right, I got more to do then, I guess. That's what I like about it.
Sounds like a high replay value
game. It is. Yeah. Which is weird because like I've played it before, but I just, something about this new one just really clicked with me. Before, I was just like, oh, this is boring. I don't want to sneak around and, like, knock people out and hide them and stuff like that. But once you get into, like, figuring out what you're going to do in each level and, you know, just some logistics behind it, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm really not big on stealth games. Like, I hate having to, like, go slow and take my time and try to incapacitate mm-hmm. guards mm-hmm. and shit. I hate it. Like, it's my least favorite thing to do in games. And, I mean, there is a little bit of that in Cyberpunk.
Yeah,
but it also gives you the option of just, you know, alerting them to your presence and turning it into a fight for your life, mm-hmm. which is usually what I do, because I'd rather have a run and gun thing going on than sneak around.
And I'm usually that way too. I guess I just played a lot of those games recently, and something about the laid back, you know, gameplay really just pulled me in. I'm excited to beat all the levels I've never played before, you know.
Yeah,
it's really cool.
Well, replay value.
Yeah, I mean, it's totally a lot. I actually traded in. I had the second one on Xbox One. I traded that in to get it for the PlayStation so I could combine them all together, you know, which is cool. You guys seen any movies recently?
Go ahead. I'm actually signed up for Nintendo Switch Online now.
Oh, are you?
Because I was getting it for the kids, mm-hmm. and it's like, oh, okay, well, family membership is a thing, so.
Yeah. That's what Kim and I do.
So, yeah, as of like yesterday, I haven't even looked at it yet. But
download, the cool thing about the Switch now, you can download the NES and the SNES.
What I was going to mention is that I got an email from them today that was like, okay, now that you're on, you can go.
There's some really cool old school games in there, but a lot of people don't know this is the Switch is not region locked. So, Google this, you can learn how to create a free Japanese account. Go then create this account, log on to it, go into the Japanese store and download the NES and the SNES launchers from there, and there's different games there too.
Okay.
Which is pretty cool. But yeah, I mean, we don't play a lot of online games. I think Kim got it because during the beginning of the pandemic, she was playing Animal Crossing and she sort of had to have it. Mm-hmm. So we just got the family plan. But I don't really play games online on that system. You know what I mean?
I play Tetris 99 a lot.
You still play it?
I love Tetris, and you can always play it, and it's always super competitive, and it's a good way to kill 15 or 20 minutes. You know, it's about how long one match takes. So I play that a lot. I don't really use my Switch for anything else.
What about the Puyo Puyo Tetris? You played that?
I haven't played that.
I love Puyo Puyo. Say it really quick.
I'm not even sure what that is.
It's a match. It's a Sega matching game. So you have like these little characters with eyes, and there's like different colors of them. So you match the different colors, and you match three or vertically, and you can make bigger blocks and stuff like that. And then it's just like Tetris. You're trying to get rid of the lines and stuff like that. But there's a combination version of it where you're playing. It goes back and forth, and there's all these different modes and stuff. It's a lot of fun.
Cool.
Yeah. I mean, I would check that out. I mean, you might like it. It's very...
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, I like most puzzle games and most Tetris-style games. I mean, they're good time wasters. And, I have an Xbox, so it's hard for me to justify, like, playing platform-type games on my Switch, because I can just play them on my Xbox. But there are some things that I think are more fun on a handheld.
I've had the Switch for maybe 2 years now, maybe a little bit longer. I've only played it on my TV maybe once or twice.
Oh, I should mention I only have a Switch Lite.
Right, so
I don't even consider the Switch a TV.
Yeah, I don't either.
It's a handheld device. It's a Game Boy.
I keep calling my Game Boy, too. I'm like, hey, can you grab my Game Boy for me? She's like, yeah, the Switch? I'm like, yeah, the Game Boy.
Yeah, I don't even think of it as a real console, just as a Game Boy system, which is fine. That's what I like to use it.
Yeah, me exactly. Me too. It's like you can lay on the couch and just play games, you know?
Mm-hmm.
All right. You guys seen any movies recently before we move on to our topic?
I've seen a few.
Yeah?
not new stuff. I watched Red Heat for the first time.
Did you really?
Days ago. Yeah. You seen it?
I don't remember, truthfully.
Okay.
I know I might have as a kid, but I don't remember it.
Have you ever seen it, Dave?
No, I don't think so.
So it's Arnold Schwarzenegger and James Belushi.
Oh, yeah, you were talking about this.
Oh, yeah, Belushi, that's right.
I haven't seen this.
So the movie starts out in this, like, Russian bathhouse, and there's, a good 5 minutes sweeping shot of all these, like, super buff naked men walking around with loincloths on, and then all these, like, topless women swimming in the bathtubs. And then Arnold walks into the room wearing nothing but a teeny tiny loincloth, and he just like walks around the entire length of this giant pool. And by this point, you're like 7 minutes into the movie. Nothing's happened. Arnold's just shown up and started walking around all these naked people. He walks over by this window, and there's these three huge Russian dudes. And they're like, if you're one of us, you can do this. And he sticks out his hand, and they put a hot stone in his hand. And it's like a coal that was in the fire. And he crushes it with his hand. And then one of them punches him.
Diamond came out.
Yeah, one of them punches him, and then Arnold uppercuts him through the window into the snowbank outside. And then these like four Russians and Arnold are having this fist fight naked in the snow. And then the title comes up and it says Red Heat, and moves on to the storyline of him being a cop who's trying to stop cocaine from coming into Russia. And he has to go to America to do it.
And that's where he meets James Belushi, right?
And that's where he meets James Belushi. And the movie gets
better from there.
It gets crazier and crazier as it goes on. It's the weirdest intro to a movie I think I've ever seen, because it's just so awkward and nothing happens until Arnold shows up. And even then, nothing really happens. It seemed like the director wanted an excuse to just show a bunch of naked people at the beginning of his movie. But it honestly, if you just cut out some of the weirder stuff in it.
Three episodes of every HBO show.
Yeah. It's not a bad flick, though. Like, at its core, the story is pretty good, and the humor and chemistry between the two of them actually kind of works. So, and Arnold has some great one-liners, like he always does.
Whatever happened to Belushi?
I don't know.
He hasn't done anything in a while.
According to Jim, and then
realized
who he was in the world and gave up.
Pretty much. Sounds like it.
Yeah.
That sitcom with his last saying. Did you guys watch I Care a Lot? That's the name of the movie on Netflix.
Yeah, I watched it.
What did you think of it? Let me ask your opinion first. I watched it today.
It's not bad.
No,
it's not great.
That's what I felt about it.
There are elements of it that are pretty interesting, and some of the stuff's really well done. The performances are all great.
Yeah, agreed.
It's missing something, and I don't really know what it is. Like the dialogue's not that good, and like I don't know. There's just something missing that could have made it a better movie.
I thought it was a prequel to the Fakes No More song, but I was wrong. We care a lot. Yeah. I know George posted about it. He did not like it. So I was like, I was expecting him to be on here, but he couldn't make it. I was really wanting to argue with him about it because I didn't hate it as much as he did. I actually thought it was pretty fun. There was whole portions of the movie, though, where they got away from like one of the main plot lines of her, you know, taking over old people's lives and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But the ending, I didn't really like the ending. I don't want to spoil it for anybody, but the ending, I was like, really?
I didn't like the ending either. And I mean, I think it was too convenient the way she escaped from some of the situations that she was in. Yeah. And I think that's probably what it was missing, was a more believable storyline.
Sure. But she was good. Like everybody in it was really good.
The performances were great. There were parts of it that were good. It just wasn't a great movie or anything.
Peter Dinklage was scary as a mob boss.
Mm-hmm. He was great.
Yeah.
He can do almost anything. Dinklage is a very talented actor.
Yeah.
We're living in the time of COVID, so new movies are kind of scarce. Mm-hmm. So, you know, for being a COVID era movie,
it's pretty good.
It's passable. It's
serviceable.
C+. I'd give it a C+.
I just finished, before we move on, I finished all seven seasons of Veep myself too this last week.
Many of that.
What's that?
I've never seen any of that. I only vaguely know what it's about.
Yeah, I really, for some reason, love... I'm not a politics guy, but I really like politics movies and, like, TV series, and, like, especially when they're satirical like that. It's just something... I was, like, I always heard about it. I always wanted to watch it. I know another one is House of Cards. I've always been interested in that.
House of Cards is great.
There's always been all these shows and movies I've never seen. I've always wanted to, and Veep was one of them. Cause I like, I just finished Arrested Development last year and I like that dude from that show. I'm like, okay, I'll check this out. And it has, Anna Chlumsky from My Girl. And I loved that movie as a kid, both of them for some reason. It was like a movie I watched a lot.
They're good flicks. I watched them a lot when I was a kid too.
Yeah. And there was something, Veep was really good. There was characters in there that I thought I was going to hate, but I wound up being my favorite characters. So.
Yeah. The only other things that I've watched recently, I watched Slither with Erica because she'd never seen it before.
I just watched that for the first time in 2020.
Oh yeah.
I loved it. I loved that movie.
I like it.
Which one is that?
It's James Gunn's movie, about the aliens that lands on Earth and infects the guy, and then he turns into like this blob monster, and like the little slithery creatures start taking over people and turning them into zombies.
I'm trying to remember if I've seen it or not.
It's very good. James Gunn.
It's very Troma.
Yeah, very Troma.
It's like if Troma made a mainstream movie.
Yeah, totally.
I should like it more than I do. It's a good movie, but it's not one of my favorites or anything.
I feel like I have seen this, but I don't remember like anything from it.
It has what's his name from Firefly? I can't think of his name now.
Oh, it's got a ton of people in it. Jason Bateman's in it.
Jason Bateman? No, he's not.
Not Jason Bateman. Nathan Firefly guy. Nathan Fillion.
Nathan
Fillion's in it. Michael Rooker.
Yep, Michael Rooker's one of the main characters in it. You'd remember it, Dave, if you haven't seen it.
I feel like I have.
If you haven't seen it, you should go back and watch it, Dave. It's worth seeing at least once. And then the last movie I watched recently was Army of One.
What's that?
It's a Nick Cage movie, which is why I watched it. But
wasn't there a video game series called Army of One back in there? Or no, Army of Two.
Army of Two.
Yeah.
Army of One is based on a true story about a guy who was like touched in the head, who decided he wanted to go and fight the Taliban. So he like bought a samurai sword and flew over to Iraq or Pakistan and then started searching the mountains for Osama bin Laden. He was like a white guy with a samurai sword wandering around the Middle East.
And this is Nicolas Cage.
This is Nicolas Cage. And he thinks he sees God talking to him, and God is played by Russell Brand.
What?
Oh my God.
This movie's fucking nuts. And then you find out it's based on a true story. It's even more insane. But I mean, Nick Cage is doing Nick Cage in this movie in a way I've never seen him be Nick Cage before. Cause he stays in character of this really,
what's it called?
It's called Army of One. I can't even explain the voice. He starts out with this really high pitched, like rednecky voice, and he never lets it go throughout the entire movie. Like, hey, I'm a Nick Cage. Ugh.
This is, I see you right here, 2016.
It's not intended as a comedy, I don't think, but it's a brilliant comedy.
I don't know. It's directed by Larry Charles, who did all the, he did Borat and The Dictator and Seinfeld.
So if you like Nick Cage, you will enjoy this
movie. Okay, I need
to
see this.
If you do not like Nick Cage, you will not like this movie.
That's basically
what it comes down to.
I don't know if we talked about this, but we just had the Wintergeddon here in Houston a few weeks ago. And there was a period about 24 hours where in my house I had no power, no water, none of that kind of stuff. All I had was my iPad that had a charge in it.
How long were you without?
Only 24 hours. I was lucky.
Oh, lucky you.
Yeah, I know. But during those 24 hours, I was huddled up in my bed upstairs. There's like four blankets on. I'm like, okay, let me see if I have anything on my iPad that I could watch. The only movie I had on my iPad was the Nicolas Cage movie, Mandy. And that's not the right movie to watch during that situation. It was such a weird, trippy movie. It was cool, though. It was interesting, you know? That dude says no, doesn't say no to anything. He's like, $5,000, really, yeah, I'll do it.
You know, I love that Venn diagram that shows, like, you know, shitty actors, Oscar performing actors,
yeah,
you know, and then Nick Cage is somewhere in the middle because he can do both.
Yep.
You know, he's incredibly talented, but he doesn't say no to anything.
No.
So he ends up with these movies that are just like, why the fuck would you pick this movie to do?
That's right. I mean, I enjoyed Mandy, but I don't think it wasn't the right mindset to watch that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I totally understand.
But it was cool. It was interesting. I'm going to have to go back and watch that other one. I've never seen
that. We did the same thing. I had some movies on my laptop that I ended up watching. We watched Spell, which is a really pretty good horror movie. Kind of unique. It's about a family that takes their private plane to fly up to bury this guy's dad, and the plane gets struck by lightning and crash lands in some backwater county in Louisiana. And the guy wakes up in a bed with this like old voodoo woman taking care of him. And he doesn't know where his family is, and she won't let him leave, and he can't find his family. And slowly he begins to believe that the food she's feeding him is his family.
Oh, wow.
And like, the more it goes on, the more interesting it becomes. It's pretty solid horror flick.
Wow. I haven't heard of that.
Yeah. The storm was bad for us too. We were up without power for, I think, 2.5 days, mm-hmm. not quite as long as Dave, but it was still shitty.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was really bad that night when it got down to like 9 degrees.
Yep.
Cause, I replaced my AC units with window units. So basically my windows were open.
Oh, wow.
Jesus. We were sleeping with the windows open when it was 9 degrees.
But you like it that cold, though. I know you sleep cold.
I do like it cold. I was sleeping in shorts and a hoodie underneath one quilt.
Oh, geez.
I was cold, but I was comfortable.
I was wearing every long sleeve.
Yeah, tonight. Exactly. We had every single blanket on the in the house on top of us.
Well, Donovan has
blankets that hadn't already been claimed. I claimed them. that really cold night.
Yeah.
Donovan has a pet tortoise, and
yep.
we were afraid it was going to die because it got so cold in the house. So we ended up having to leave and drive through the ice all the way across town to go stay with her brother because he had power. But luckily, the turtle survived. We're all good. Fine. I skidded out a couple times, but
it was pretty hardy. So.
Yeah, but 9 degree weather is pretty bad for him.
No, it's I'm with you. I'm a turtle lover. My turtles did fine, actually.
That's good.
But yeah, they're tough little. They can go through a lot. And that way, I think they're a pretty good kid pet because
yeah,
pretty sturdy.
Yeah, they're definitely good kid pets.
They can just hide in their shell until until it's all over. Yeah. All right, so we talked about movies. We're going to get into our topic now. I found an article through IMDb that talks about the top 100 movies. They're the highest rated movies on IMDb. So we wanted to talk. We really wanted George to be here for this, but he's not. So we're going to move on without him.
In honor of George, I'll just talk shit about stuff. Everything sucks. These are all fucking awful.
Okay.
None of these deserve top 100 spots.
So there's a lot of movies on here I've never seen or never planned to see. So we can move on really quickly. So starting at 100 is a movie called M from 1931, which I'd never seen. 99. This is like one of the pinnacles of movie. Citizen Kane. And I did watch this when I took a film history class, which was a cool class because we had to watch all these really old movies. One of the movies that we did get to watch was The Thing. I was like, I had to write an essay about it, which was awesome.
That's pretty cool.
But have you guys seen Citizen Kane?
I actually have not.
This list is extremely subjective because, you know, any real list of the top 100 movies is not going to have Citizen Kane at 99.
No.
Especially when you see some of the ones that are coming.
I haven't looked at the full list yet, so I'm just going to be surprised on some of it.
I looked at the list before we went on, and I mean, you're going to be shocked when you see things like The Dark Knight as high as it is.
Oh yeah.
You know, this was not written by critics. This was obviously made by.
That's why I picked this one.
Common reviewers.
Yep.
So, you know, it's not really going to be an accurate depiction of like what the top 100 pieces of cinema ever made are. Citizen Kane is a masterpiece. It's a fantastic movie. A lot of people consider it to be the best movie ever made.
Mm.
It's certainly way higher than 99. It should be.
Yeah. I agree on that one.
It's not something that I want to watch frequently.
I mean, the Metascore for it is 100.
Yeah, exactly. It's not something I probably even want to watch ever again in my lifetime, but it's a movie that everybody should see at least once.
What about, so before that was 98 was Bicycle Thieves. Never heard of it. Never seen it.
Never seen that one.
It looks like an Italian movie. 97 is Singing in the Rain. I know I've seen segments of this, but I've never seen it.
I watched it with my mom when I was much, much younger. It's fine. You know, for the era that it existed in, it was a great movie ride.
Yeah, I was about to say The Great Movie Ride at Hollywood Studios. That's where I know it from.
Yep, I knew it.
Yep. Before 96 is Vertigo, which is a great movie. One of Alfred Hitchcock's best.
Most Hitchcock stuff is pretty solid. Vertigo's one of his best for sure.
And it has a Metascore of 100. So that tells you something right there.
Yeah.
95 was 2001, A Space Odyssey.
This should be higher.
Yeah,
I agree. All the Kubrick movies should be much higher than they are on this list. 2001 is really good. It's a movie that everybody should watch at least once, even if it is kind of a tough watch the first time. It's a masterpiece.
Okay, 94 is Das Boot. Now, this one I do not agree with. 93 is Episode 6, Return of the Jedi. That, for me, should be way higher. 93? I mean, come on.
I honestly, like... Star Wars, as much as I love Star Wars, they are popcorn flicks, but there's a lot of stuff on here. You're going to see Avengers Endgame on this list. You're going to see, you know, stuff that shouldn't be anywhere near a top 100 list on this list. And I feel like Return of the Jedi shouldn't be on this list.
Should not?
I love Return of the Jedi. It's my favorite of the Star Wars franchise films, but it's not technically the best. The best one's Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah, agreed.
And Empire definitely deserves a spot, but all three movies don't.
All right. 92 is Amadeus, which I did see that. I had to watch that in college in my music appreciation class.
Yeah, I never saw it.
Luckily. My mom watched this movie on loop.
Did she?
Sometimes. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know that I've ever actually sat and watched the whole thing straight through. But I know that I've seen all of it.
Yeah.
So.
91.
It's a good movie.
Yeah, it is. It is a good movie. Milos Forman is a director. So let's see. Aliens is number 91.
It's hard to say where Aliens should be on this list. In terms of greatest sequels of all time, Aliens is in the top five.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. What's the other ones? Terminator 2?
I mean, Terminator 2 for me is number one, but I think Empire for most people is probably higher than it. Mm. I think Dark Knight is probably number three. I think Aliens is probably number four. And then number five is extremely debatable. But I think that's probably a fair top four sequels of all time.
Yeah, I can agree on that. I like Aliens. I think I saw Aliens before I saw Alien, truthfully.
It's a totally different vibe. Just Terminator 2 is a totally different vibe from Terminator 1.
Aliens is an action movie and Alien is a horror movie.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Same for Terminator, same formula. They're all four of those are fantastic films in their own right. They just happen to have franchises that increase their value because they built on something that came before.
Mm-hmm.
Aliens probably deserves a top 100 spot, and it probably should be somewhere in the 90s.
All right. So we can agree on that then. So 90 is Full Metal Jacket. Never seen that movie.
Oh, it's another Kubrick movie. It's not his best.
If you see it, you'll be like, oh, okay, this is where that came from. And
I think it belongs, you know, probably in the 80s to 90s. On this list.
Okay.
I think Barry Lyndon's probably higher. I think Shining should definitely be higher. 2001 should be higher. You know, Clockwork Orange should probably be higher.
Yep. I can agree on that one. I don't know why I never saw it. It's going to go on my to watch list. So 89, we're in the 80s now. Reservoir Dogs. My third favorite Tarantino movie.
What's your number two?
Inglourious Basterds.
Okay, that makes sense.
And Pulp Fiction, number one for me.
I think Pulp Fiction is his most iconic film. It's the film that most people love of his.
That's the first one I saw, actually.
Pulp Fiction could be a top 30 film all time. I agree with that. Reservoir Dogs might deserve to be a top 100 movie.
I think it's a good place for it. 89, it makes sense to me there.
There's better movies in it, but I actually like Reservoir Dogs more than Pulp Fiction, personally. Mm. It's my favorite Tarantino movie, but for most people, it seems like Pulp Fiction is the standard.
Yeah. Number 88, I don't agree with this, but it's Braveheart.
You think it should be higher, or you think it shouldn't be on the list?
I don't think it should be on the list at all. I mean, it's a decent movie. I'm just soured by...
such an iconic movie.
I'm soured by Mel Gibson, though. Just anything he's in.
Just because Mel Gibson's a monster of a human being doesn't mean you can take away, you know.
No, I'll give Braveheart credit for being what it is. It was one of the very first big resurgence of those, you know, those huge history movies, epics. Yeah,
I think it deserves the top 100 spot. It deserves to be in the 80s to 90s, probably. It's a good movie.
So 88 is a good place for it.
One of my favorites for a long time.
Yeah, I loved it when I was a kid. I used to watch it every once in a while.
Number 87 is our first animated movie, and that's Toy Story.
Well,
we know how you feel about Toy Story.
I mean, despite my personal distaste for it, there's better animated movies, and I don't think that anything Pixar has done should be anywhere near the top 100.
Okay.
There's too many classic films. There's too many masterpieces. When it comes down to it, it's a kid's comedy story. And if you think a kid's comedy story is top 100 movies of all time worthy, I disagree with you.
Okay, then we disagree then. That's okay. What about you, Dave?
I mean, I don't know. It's hard to say for me. I don't think that it should be any higher than it is. Put it that way, but
it's okay.
I can see it making near the bottom of the list. If you're going to put one Pixar film there, I could see it being near the bottom of the list, but it's just hard to imagine that it even has a place on the list for me.
My feelings about Toy Story are mixed up because what it is as a movie in and of itself, I have trouble divorcing from its significance to movie history. That they were it was such a groundbreaking movie technologically. And I guess I have trouble separating that from the movie in and of itself.
That makes sense. From the technological aspect, you might be right. It might actually deserve a lower spot on the top 100, but from every other perspective, not so much.
All right.
It's far from my favorite Pixar property.
Yeah, me too.
I like the Toy Story movies. I enjoy all of them. It's the third one's the best one.
Yeah. Fourth one shouldn't even be made.
I agree with both of your statements.
I'm fine with the fourth one.
It should have been like a straight to Disney Plus thing, you know.
I didn't think I was gonna be okay with it, but I actually ended up liking what they did with it. But
What's your favorite Pixar series?
That's hard to say too, but Wall-E is up there. Wall-E's one of my favorites. And again, I don't even know like if it's like that great of a movie. I just like it. It's fun to look at, and the character design is all the way through the movie for all of the different like kinds of robots and stuff is really well done. And there's a lot about that movie I do enjoy. I don't know how much the plot is part of it. It's just a really fun watch.
The plot is basically telling us that we're all going to be old and fat and floating around on these devices because we can't move anymore.
Yeah, well, I mean,
we're almost there. So number 86 is Good Will Hunting. I've seen this before. I don't know if it's one of my favorite movies, but it was okay.
It's not a movie I want to watch ever again, but I do recognize what a quality drama it is and that it probably does deserve a latter spot in the top 100.
Yeah. All right. So 85 is American Beauty, which I saw once when it came out.
Same thing. It's an iconic film. It deserves a spot, a low spot, but a spot.
Now with Kevin Spacey being all Kevin Spacey, it's good.
But it's, you know, sort of muddles many times bit. About trying to divorce the creators and the creatives from their work. And I mean, he made these films before anybody knew who he was, you know, and it's hard to take away from all the other people's performances and the writing and the directing and all the other stuff that made these films great just because we know how shitty he was, you know?
Yes. Requiem for a Dream is number 84, which I've never seen that. Have you guys?
That's a really, really good movie.
You need to watch Requiem. I mean, it'll fuck you up for a week, but you need to watch it.
It may be one of those movies. It likely is going to be one of those movies that you'll watch once and go, oh my God, this was an amazing movie. I never want to watch it again.
Okay.
I love Aronofsky. I do too.
Aronofsky is one of my favorite filmmakers.
Yeah. Requiem is probably his best movie. Black Swan's pretty good. Pi is very unique. I haven't seen
Black Swan.
Oh, you should watch Black Swan.
I haven't seen Black Swan either.
I mean, The Fountain is kind of divisive. Mother is extremely divisive.
I haven't seen that one yet.
I think you'll love Mother. I walked out of the theater like I had an epiphany. I was like, this is the greatest film I've seen ever. That subsided as time went by and I thought about it some more. But when I first came out of that movie, I was blown away. And on the other side of me was Erica, and she just fucking hated it with every fiber of her being because, you know, she is fairly religious and I'm not at all. So we had totally different perspectives going into the film. But knowing you, Dave, I think you'll thoroughly enjoy Mother.
I haven't watched it yet because my wife is very averse to depictions of violence to children in movies.
I mean, a baby does get ripped to pieces.
I know that happens in the movie. And so.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's a lot why I haven't watched it yet. But it's an Aronofsky movie and I want to see it. I am team The Fountain. I love that movie.
I love The Fountain too. It's one of my favorites. Yeah.
Yeah. A beautiful, beautiful movie. But no, I get it. Like, that was a movie that we're getting tangential here.
It's okay. That's what happens.
That's what we do.
Both times I went to see it in the theater, I went in two different markets. So like the socioeconomic status of the people that were around me was different, but the reactions were largely the same.
Nice. Okay, I definitely need to put this on my watch list then.
The movie ended, and I'm like on the verge of tears, and everybody that I can hear around me is going, "What the fuck was that? That was stupid." And getting up and leaving all pissed off. And I'm like, I'm moved. I've had a moment at this movie.
Aronofsky's great at that.
They didn't know how to market that movie. They marketed that movie all wrong. But if they had marketed it accurately, nobody would have gone to see it.
You're right.
I don't know what to tell you.
Those are the best kind of movies, though, because I feel like they resonate, you know, for a long, long time on a personal level. And they become things that, like, we love that maybe other people just don't. And so it gets a lot of hate. I mean, it still gets a lot of hate. People hate The Fountain. But I think it's one of his best films. Like, I love it. I think Mother's the same thing. I think, you know, like, even Midsommar, that's another movie. Same kind of thing. It's like, if you get it, you get it. And if you don't, you're just never going to.
Yeah, I got that one. I didn't get his other one, but... All right, moving on. Number 83. We're going to sort of run through some of these, especially ones we don't really know that much about. 83 is Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. I really like Michel Gondry. They did
a good movie.
They did, yeah, it's a really good movie. They did that series on Showtime recently called Kidding. If you haven't seen that, phenomenal. Really, really good.
It probably deserves a lower spot on the top 100.
Number 82 is Inglourious Basterds. I could put it higher on the list, like, well, actually lower. It is one of my favorite Tarantino films, but it probably could be in the 90s somewhere for me. It's tall, as far as the top 100 movies.
I think Inglourious Basterds is a lot of fun, but I think it's one of his weaker films. I would probably put it out of the top 100 along with Kill Bill 1 and 2.
Yeah, I'm not a big Kill Bill fan either.
Like, the only ones of his that actually possibly deserve a top 100 spot are Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Okay, agreed.
Reservoir Dogs, Pulp Fiction, and maybe squeaking in Jackie Brown. Maybe.
Or Hateful Eight. Hateful Eight.
I love Hateful Eight, but I don't think it's as good as the other films I just mentioned.
And I haven't seen Jackie Brown in a long time. I need to rewatch it. It's been a long time.
That one I never saw, because I remember there being a lot of really negative backlash against it when it came out, and so I never saw it.
You should. I watched it again a couple weeks ago for the first time in a few years, and it really holds up well. Like, it's like the
Kevin Smith, like, Tarantino was making his old universe, because there's characters in Jackie Brown that make appearances in other movies, and there's like brothers and other characters. It's like the whole universe came together in that movie. You know what I mean?
It has a very like Pulp Fiction-y vibe to it, but through a completely different lens. Yeah. It's more a Tarantino movie.
It's more comical in a way.
It does have a lot more levity.
Yeah.
It's really good. I like Jackie Brown a lot.
I'm going to move. 81 is a movie called The Hunt from 2012. I have not seen that. Starring Mads Mikkelsen. Number 80 is The Great Dictator. That is Charlie Chaplin. Never seen it. Number 7.
A big speech from the end.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Iconic.
79 Sunset Boulevard. I'm not a really big musical person, so never gonna
watch. It's not a musical.
Sunset Boulevard.
Unless I'm thinking of the wrong thing, but I don't think I am. No, that's not a musical.
I've never seen that one. So I can't.
Yeah, I've never seen it.
It's about a washed up Hollywood star.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was a musical for some reason. All right. No,
pretty decent movie.
78 is Rear Window. That's another great Alfred Hitchcock movie. 77 is an early Stanley Kubrick movie called Paths of Glory. I've never seen this.
I've never seen that either, actually.
1957. Number 76, Witness for the Prosecution. Billy Wilder movie. Let's see, number 75, I can agree on this one, Dr. Strangelove or How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love the Bomb, another Stanley Kubrick movie.
I was just talking about this movie the other day, and I need to I made like a reference to it or something. I was like, man, I want to watch that movie again.
It's been a long time since I've seen it. 1964. Number 74 is High and Low, Akira Kurosawa. I've never seen that movie.
I'm sure I have. I couldn't tell you which one. I've seen all the Kurosawa movies at some point.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. I can't remember which of the Kurosawa movies
I've seen. I mean, pretty much everything he made is a contender for this list anyway. Sure. So.
Agreed. 73, Alien.
I love this movie. This is one of my favorite science fiction horror movies. And I feel like it is one that I can
watch
every time
I go to it
and watch it again. It's still good every time I watch it.
Performance in the movie are great across the board.
I think it should be higher.
I think it should be higher too, is what I was going to say. It definitely deserves.
I haven't. So you guys looked at this list completely. I have not. So I don't know all of them. So let's move on to number 72, Apocalypse Now. Great movie.
Yep. It deserves a spot.
Yep. number 71, The Shining. In first time I watched it was in 2020. There's parts of it and the iconic scenes of it that I've always known about and seen stuff, but I was not a fan of Shelley Duvall. I think something as a kid in her performance in Popeye freaked me out. So I didn't really want to watch anything else she did when I got a little older, you know, but I finally watched it and it was phenomenal.
Yeah. I think Shining's one of my, it's probably like my third favorite movie of all time. Hmm. It definitely deserves a top 100 spot.
Yeah.
It should be higher than this one.
I agree on this one. It should be higher.
I think it's a top 40 movie all time.
I think it's a top 30 movie.
Maybe it is. There's a lot of contenders. It should be much higher than it is.
So number 70 is Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark. It's not my favorite Indiana Jones movie.
As much as I like Indiana Jones, Spielberg's made way better movies. And
right. But is it better than The Shining though? No, is it?
No, you know? Of course not. I'm not sure any Indiana Jones movies deserve a top 100 spot is what I'm saying. Yeah. They're fun. They're popcorn flicks, but like, I don't know if any of them are good enough to make best of all time.
Sure.
Like Raiders is fun. Is it really like better than some of these classics we're talking about though?
Yeah, I can agree on that. I mean, I one of my favorite franchises of all time, but
see, George isn't here. George would be like, it's number three of all time. What are you guys talking about?
Number one in the hood. Number 69 is Once Upon a Time in America, 1984, Robert De Niro, directed by Sergio Leone. I've never seen this movie. I need to watch this.
I haven't seen it either.
I love old, you know, mafia style movies.
I watched this last year.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good movie. Nice. I could see it deserving the spot. Yeah.
All right. Number 68 is Princess Mononoke. This might be blasphemy here, but I've never seen a Studio Ghibli movie ever.
Not a single one.
Not a single one.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
You should.
I saw Princess Mononoke in the theaters twice when it first released in the US. I love Mononoke. It's one of my favorite of the Ghibli films, but
it's a very good movie. It's one of my favorite Ghibli films too.
Aren't they all on HBO Max now?
Or yeah,
streaming somewhere.
I think they are all on HBO Max.
Which is weird because they're owned by Disney.
It's hard for me to say that Mononoke deserves a top 100 spot.
They're not owned by Disney.
No, they're not owned by Disney.
No, they're not. Disney has distributed some of the Ghibli stuff in America. But no, I don't think that Miyazaki and his folk would
allow that.
Okay,
moving on from that, I'll have to figure out which Ghibli movie should I watch first.
Spirited Away is not a bad place to start.
Spirited Away is good.
It's one of my favorites. Princess Mononoke was the first one that I saw.
Princess Mononoke is a fun one.
Is it better than Toy Story?
Dude, so
it's hard to compare them.
I'll put it this way. A lot of the Studio Ghibli Hayao Miyazaki movies they're all very fairy tale and they deal with that kind of fairy tale world. Princess Mononoke is one of the darker ones. It's pretty violent at times and scary.
But it's not Grave of the Fireflies. I mean, it's really hard for me to say that it even deserves the top 100 spot. I mean, as much as I love it, as much as I love Studio Ghibli in general, it's hard to say that any of those films deserve a top 100 spot, or any anime in general. I mean, do you think any of the Studio Ghibli stuff's better than Akira or better than Ghost in the Shell or better than any of those, like,
I mean,
linchpin classic animes?
I'd put some of them up there. Yeah.
Grave of the Fireflies, I could see.
That Spirited Away is on this list higher up.
I know it is, too.
I don't have a problem with that because I think Spirited Away is absolutely...
See, y'all cheated. So. Y'all know what's on the list already.
I agree. I think Spirited Away is probably the most deserving. That and Grave. Mononoke, though. Oh, it's devastatingly sad.
All right.
It'll make both of you cry.
All right, let's move on.
not Justin, though.
67.
No, I'm watching it.
67 is Memento. Christopher Nolan.
I love Memento.
Y'all.
I don't know if it's top 100, but it's a good movie.
Yeah, it's good.
66 is Old Boy.
Yes, 100%. Both. Well, the original for sure.
Yeah.
I don't know about the new one. The new one's pretty good though.
65 is a movie called The Lives of Others, which I've never heard of. 64 is a movie called WALL-E.
Yep, that was
WALL-E. We already talked about that one. 63 is looks like a Indian movie called Like Stars of Earth on Earth. I never heard of it. 62 is another Indian production, Three Idiots. All right. So
not heard of either of these.
Yeah, me either. 61 is The Dark Knight Rises.
That movie shouldn't be on this list.
No,
I really like the Christopher Nolan Batman movies. I think they're really well done, but this movie should not be on this list.
Yeah.
I actually think Dark Knight Rises is the best of that series. I love Dark Knight Rises. I saw it in the theater 8 times. It's nowhere near a top 100 film. I believe Ledger's Dark Knight should be on this list, but it should be in like the 70s to 90s range because it is one of the best sequels of all time.
Mm-hmm.
It is. I need to watch Rises again because I only saw it the one time. And I remember that like right before the movie started, I got like a phone call or a text message and it was like family emergency. Somebody was in the hospital kind of thing. And so my head wasn't totally in the place to watch the movie.
Yeah.
I remember enjoying it, but I remember also being really distracted through the whole thing.
It's one of those films that's like also divisive. Like some people just absolutely hate it. They think it was not a fair sequel to The Dark Knight. But I love it. I think it's the best, even though it takes some liberties with Batman's story, even though like the Robin thing is cheesy and like,
yeah, that I didn't love.
I mean, there were parts of it I didn't love, but it's such a fun movie to watch. Every time I have nothing else to do
with Robin, I don't even remember Robin being in it. Oh, it was Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I remember that part.
And he's not really Robin.
Yeah.
His name, his like middle name is Robin or something.
Right. Okay. I remember that now. All right. Moving on. Number 60 is Django Unchained.
Doesn't deserve it.
It's a good movie, but I don't know about where it is. 59.
It's one of the weaker Tarantino movies.
Is Coco. I don't know if it should be at this level. I agree. It's one of my favorite Pixar movie. I saw this movie the week my grandma died.
I think Coco is a lot more deserving than Toy Story. See, Pixar has done some good stuff, and like when they do deeply heartfelt stuff like Coco, I think that it, you know, it really verges on being that more exclusive like classic film territory.
Yeah.
And Coco I could see being in the top 100, but like Toy Story is just a little bit harder for me to buy.
All right. So 57 and 58 are both Avengers movies, Endgame and Infinity War.
Again, I don't think these need to be on here.
Endgame could maybe be towards the end of the top 100 just because of the scale of the battle.
Okay. I'll give you that.
How masterful like the CGI and everything was done. Like the same thing as like the Lord of the Rings fights. Like Lord of the Rings themselves, the movies, they're great. but I don't know if they're top 100 of all time. Yeah. But
well, I think you're looking, I know this is a different version of top 100. I don't think it's there. It's like, it's not critics top 100, which would be a totally different list, you know?
Well, that's why I'm talking about it.
Yeah.
You know, whether or not somebody would actually make the critics top 100.
So
my own personal top 100 would be drastically different from this list.
56 is another movie that features Spider-Man. That's Into the Spider-Verse. Groundbreaking, yes, but I don't know where it should be on this list, you know?
Not top 100.
No.
I almost feel like, I feel like I'm cutting so many things out that I'm starting to go, well, now hang on a minute. And, if I cut too many things out, I'm not going to have a top 100 list anymore,
which I'm not. Well, Dave, I mean, you and I both looked at this list, and Jaws is not on this fucking list. Like, there's stuff that is clearly missing.
I've never seen Jaws.
Oh. There's stuff that is clearly missing from the top.
I hadn't seen Jaws till 2020. It was one of my things. I'm not going to do everyone here. I want to sort of.
E.T. is not on this list.
Okay, that's wrong.
Spider-Verse, though, I could almost see, because one, it's the best Spider-Man movie we've ever had.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
It's probably one of the best comic book movies that we've ever had.
Agreed.
And it looks like a comic book on film.
I could see a case for it being in the 90s.
Just don't play in the Miles Morales game. The Into the Spider-Verse effect they have on there kills your eyes.
Okay,
it's crazy.
I'm gonna make the game look like this movie, like wacky,
the movements and stuff like that. It hurts. Number 53 is the Joker movie from 2019.
I never watched it.
I cannot think of a less deserving movie to be anywhere near the top 100. That movie sucks donkey dick.
I don't hate it as much as you do, but what he was trying to do was just basically...
It's not... The movie is the most mismarketed movie in the fucking history of cinema.
They were trying to make a Scorsese movie back in the 70s.
If they had just made a movie about a guy's descent into madness, a la Taxi Driver, a la Falling Down... And market it as that without, you know, laying a flimsy film of DC Comicsness on top of it, it would have been a passable flick. But trying to shoehorn all the Joker stuff into it made it fucking awful. I hate that movie. I hate that movie. Fuck that movie. Fuck Todd Phillips.
Tell us how you really feel.
I passionately despise Joker.
I think I got that from you. All right, so I'm not going to do every single one. We're going to move on. 49 is Casablanca, another movie I had to watch in my history of film class.
Which one of the best love story films. It definitely deserves it.
It's a good movie. It's 100 Metascore, so I mean...
What do you see here?
49.
Oh, you skipped a bunch?
I skipped a bunch. Some of them don't matter at this point. 48, Psycho, the original Psycho. I can agree on that one. It's a great, great movie, especially for the time, that type of horror movie, you know?
Mm-hmm.
47, Once Upon a Time in the West.
Iconic.
What's up?
Certainly one of the most iconic Hitchcock films.
They had a whole thing at Universal Studios at one point based on Alfred Hitchcock, which was really cool. And they recreated the shower scene with people from the audience.
Oh, yeah?
It was cool.
I remember they had... the house on the back, like on the back lot tour.
So that was they had the Psycho house on the tour, but like the Alfred Hitchcock Presents, it was a walkthrough exhibit at the beginning of it. And then you would go into a part where you go into this room and they pull somebody from the audience and you would create that scene. And then the third part of it was, a 3D version of a section from The Birds.
Okay.
And then the rest of the attraction, something birds attacked me really quickly. And the rest of it, you had all these exhibits and like they had like the setup from Rear Window and all this kind of stuff. And you could buy your base motel, like shower curtains and towels and all that stuff. Which, if you remember, my good friend Bill Bates, he had a towel and he loved it. It was like his favorite thing. The Bates Motel. Number 46 was Back to the Future.
Yeah, I think Back to the Future 1 definitely deserves a top 100 spot.
Yeah. Totally. Grave of the Fireflies. I've never seen that. Never heard of it.
That's what I was just talking about it a few minutes ago.
Yeah, I remember you saying that.
Fucking devastating film. It deserves a spot completely.
Okay. I have never seen that. I'll have to check it out.
It'll make you sad.
Terminator 2, Judgment Day is number 43.
T2. One of the top two sequels of all time.
Yeah.
You know, it's debatable which is which, but it deserves a spot.
Number 42 with another animated movie. I think I agree on this one. It's The Lion King.
It's not my favorite, but I agree.
Oh, it is definitely one of my favorites.
Yeah, it's top tier Disney animation studio work. Like it's exemplary work.
I don't think they've ever done as well as that movie. I remember going to the movie theater with my mom to see that movie. Number 41 is Leon the Professional with a young Natalie Portman.
It's a great movie.
Yep.
It holds up better than you think it would too.
Number 40 is another Kevin Spacey, bomb. Not now is a bomb. The Usual Suspects.
Really good movie,
though. It is.
It is.
Surprisingly, Bryan Singer actually has done a good movie in his career.
I think it would be lower on the list than this, but it probably should be in the top 100.
Number 39 is American History X.
Agreed.
Good movie.
This is another one that I can't recall if I've ever sat straight through it. I feel like I've probably seen all of it in bits and pieces, but I don't know that I've seen it straight through.
I mean, it's not like a feel-good movie, so it's hard to recommend watching it all the way through, but it's great performances. Eddie Furlong's awesome.
Yeah.
Edward Norton's amazing. So
definitely deserves it. Doesn't it have I can't remember who else was in that movie.
Oh, there's Ethan Suplee.
Ethan Suplee, that's who I was thinking of.
Yeah.
Don't let him know that you don't like his movie. He'll kick your ass now.
Dude.
He's buffed. Shit, I know. Yeah. Yeah. 38
he
is
finally saw the sailboat.
He finally did. And number 38 is Gladiator. I like Gladiator. I like the director's cut a little bit more though.
I skipped my senior prom to see Gladiator.
Good choice.
You made the best choice.
Good choice. Best choice ever.
This is a really good movie. This is one of those epics that I've watched over and over.
It's Russell Crowe's best movie.
Mm-hmm.
I think it probably is. It's cool to see something like this from Ridley Scott.
Yeah.
It's still Ridley Scott making good movies, but
it's his tribute to the epic movies of the 40s.
Yeah, and it's really good as far as that's concerned. And I love the music in this movie is really good too.
So we're all agreement here. Number 37 is a movie I actually never saw, which I always sort of wanted to. Is The Pianist.
Oh, this is another heartbreaking movie.
Yeah. I'm looking at the description right now. I'm like, oh yeah, that's, those are my people right there.
Yeah. This is, what's his name? The
Adrian Brody.
Adrian Brody. Yeah. This was like his breakout. I didn't realize this was a Roman Polanski.
It is. Yeah. That could, ruin it right there.
I can't in good faith say, hey, you should go check this movie out. I didn't realize that's who it was, but before I knew that, it's a really good movie, actually. It's very sad.
Number 36 is The Departed.
It deserves a top 100 spot. I don't know if it should be this high.
Yeah, I agree. I like Scorsese and I love his mobster films, but I don't think this is as good as other films that we've already talked about.
I watched it like 2 weeks ago for the fifth or sixth time. It's a great movie.
35 is The Prestige. Never seen this.
It shouldn't be this high on the list, but wow, is this a well done movie?
It's
the most coherent non-Batman Nolan movie.
Yes. I think
it's
really well written.
More coherent than Tenet?
Million times more coherent than Tenet.
Great
performances.
Yeah, the performances are great. The way the story is told is really well done. There's a lot of twists and turns, and I remember watching it for the first time. None of the turns surprised me at the point they happened, but I felt like I was only figuring them out just before they got revealed.
Yeah, same here.
So the twists and turns were a lot of fun in the movie, and so it's kind of a drama about these two magicians in like a Victorian era,
yeah,
kind of, and their rivalry. But then there's also
Nikola Tesla,
science fiction element.
Interesting.
Nikola Tesla factors into it.
They're magicians that keep trying to one up each other with their tricks. And
I think I know what it's about. I just don't think I've ever watched it.
You have to watch
Christian Bale. Christian Bale and Hugh Jackman are both great in it. What's his name?
So Batman versus Wolverine, is that what it's about?
Michael Caine.
Michael Caine's great and everything. So is it Batman versus Wolverine?
Yes.
Okay, I'm down then.
Of all the things we've talked about so far that we said you need to watch, this is the first thing you need to watch on this list, Gary.
Okay, all right. Number 33 with Whiplash, which another movie I've never seen, and I've always wanted to.
It's a top, I'd say it's a top 100 film, but maybe not this high. J.K. Simmons is his best performance of his entire career. He's just
better than J. Jonah Jameson.
Yes, way better than J. Jonah Jameson.
Better than the insurance commercials.
Yes, better than the insurance commercials. Damn,
that's saying something right there.
You're not even in this film, and he terrifies you in places. So
nice. It's next one I do not agree with in any way, shape, or form. Number 32 is Hamilton.
I don't think it's a top 100 film. No. I don't think it could be anywhere near there.
It's a musical that they filmed.
There's no denying the cultural impact that it's had and that it's become this.
Sure, I can agree that it's been
love it. You know,
the huge impact it's had. Film. It's a live stage show musical that they filmed, and that's not a movie to me. And it's not like they recreated a live musical and made it into a movie. No, they just film the stage show, you know what I mean? It's not,
I'm not even trying to kick it out for semantics. I'm just saying it doesn't deserve a top 100 spot.
Okay, we'll leave it at that. It's a Wonderful Life is number 31.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah,
it deserves a spot.
This is funny to me because like y'all know how It's a Wonderful Life became a classic movie.
It's not a Christmas movie at all.
Well, it is.
I mean, it is, but it's not really.
Like, do you know why it became a classic movie? Because it was a box office bomb.
No.
Nobody saw this movie. Nobody liked it. It became a hit because it performed so badly that the studio didn't renew their rights to it, and it went into the public domain. And
really?
And that's why every TV channel would play it around Christmas, because it was inexpensive to air.
Mm.
And it was that made it the Hollywood hit that it is.
Yep.
Wow. I didn't know that. Interesting. Number 30 is another Akira Kurosawa film. That's Seven Samurai.
It's probably the most well-known one.
Uh-huh.
It's great.
It's what The Mandalorian is based on.
And a billion other
ones.
Stories.
Number 29. We're in the 20s now. Is Harikari from 1962?
Yeah, the Magnificent Seven was based on Seven Samurai.
Yeah, there's like a million things that have copied it. Yeah. I've never seen Harikari.
I haven't either. I've always heard about it, but I've never seen it.
I guess I should.
Number 28 is Star Wars Episode IV, A New Hope.
Star Wars New Hope was
a game changer,
such
for sure.
A cultural impact. Yeah. It changed the way special effects were done. You know, there's no denying it deserves a spot in the top 100. I think it's probably a little high.
It's not the best Star Wars film, though.
It's not even the best Star Wars film. I think Empire should probably be higher than it just because
it is.
Okay.
It's coming.
Damn it.
But New Hope deserves a spot. Both of those deserve a spot. Return of the Jedi probably does not.
Here's another movie I've never seen. I've always wanted to, and that's The Silence of the Lambs in number 27.
Oh, man.
How have you not seen Silence
of the Lambs? I don't know. I have no idea. I've seen the other films in that series, like the sequel.
You can't judge Silence of the Lambs by Hannibal and Red Dragon. Come on, man.
Well, Hannibal I saw.
They're not even in the same genre or ballpark in terms of quality or storyline or anything.
I will have to watch. I need to watch it.
Silence of the Lambs is a fucked up movie, and it's really, really well done, and all the performances are excellent. And it's iconic in so many ways. Hannibal doesn't measure up even kind of close, and Red Dragon's terrible, despite how much I like Edward Norton.
Oh, God, I forgot he was even the guy in that one. I was thinking of Ralph Fiennes as the... I thought he was good.
He was.
And playing the role that fucked up villain, I thought he did a really good job.
But Silence of the Lambs deserves probably a top 50 spot.
No.
You should definitely watch it, Gary.
All right. Number 26 is actually one of my favorite films. I would probably put this in my top 10 or 15 movies. But cool. Seven... Yeah,
I love Seven. I think it's a top 100 film. I don't think I would put it in my top 15, but it's very good.
I haven't watched it in ages, but I think I'm kind of the same way. Like, it's probably a top 100 movie, but it's not that high for me personally.
Number 24, another movie. Don't hate me. I've never seen The Green Mile.
It's sad.
A very sad movie.
It's, it's totally deserving of the spot. I think it probably should be a top 25 film.
You know, it's a Stephen King story, Gary?
Yep. Yeah, I do. Okay. I know Frank Darabont directed it too, which I like
also
him.
I also think it's a movie that it's really hard to sell to somebody to watch this movie if they've never seen it. Like, when I saw the commercials for it when it came out, I was like, that's not a movie I'd ever watch. And then I watched it and I was like, wow.
I think that exact same thing happened to me. Yeah.
Okay. You know, so I mean, aside from saying that it's a masterpiece and, you know, you'll probably get something out of watching it, it's hard to sell this movie to people.
Okay. I definitely do want to watch it. I have a list of movies that I've never seen that I need to. I just need to do it. 23, Saving Private Ryan. That movie I have seen, and that's a great movie.
Yeah, it's pretty good as far as war movies go. I mean, love
it's
movies.
Not the first one I saw in this one. I saw Saving Ryan's Privates first, and it was a totally different movie.
That's a better film.
I don't know.
I don't like war movies. I love movies in general almost as much as
you don't like war movies, really? More,
but I don't like war movies. Oh, I don't watch them. I didn't know that. I do not watch war movies, and watching this one was real rough for me. Mm. I acknowledge that it's probably not tell you where it should go because my opinion on it is very skewed.
All right. Number 22 is Spirited Away, another Miyazaki movie.
It should be top 100.
This is another place that you could potentially start with Hayao Miyazaki movies.
Okay. I've always heard this one first, and then Mononoke, Princess Mononoke next. So I'll give it a shot. I will. I'll let you know. We should do like we did with like the horror movies. Like, okay, you have to watch all these movies by the next time we record, and then we can talk about them. So, number 21 is City of God. We'll just move on. 20. I don't know if I agree with this one at all. Interstellar.
I think Interstellar should be higher on this list. I think it should be in the top 15.
Wow, really?
Yeah, I don't like Matthew McConaughey at all. I'm not a fan of his as an actor. Like, the only two things I've ever seen him in that I liked were True Detective and this, and Interstellar.
And Dazed and Confused. Come on, dude.
I don't really like Dazed and Confused. It's not a movie that I enjoy. Interstellar, though, wrecked me for like a month. That movie was just weighing so heavily on my mind, and I could not get over it. I had to watch it again and again and again and again. And I probably revisit it every 6 months or so. It's Nolan's best film. I love Interstellar.
I did not see it when it came out, and it took me a long time to get around to
watching it. I watched it like 2 years after it came out for the first time. I didn't watch it in the theaters, and I regret not seeing it in the theaters.
I do too. It took me a long time to get around to seeing it. I've only watched it the one time, but I was surprised at how good it was.
All right. Number 19 is a movie that came out the past couple years, Parasite. I watched it.
I haven't seen this one yet. I want to watch this one, but I haven't seen it.
I enjoyed it, but I don't know if it's where it is in this list, but whatever.
I love Bong stuff. Like, he's the Korean Christopher Nolan. it's a good comparison. I don't think Parasite should be this high, but it definitely could be a contender for a top 100 film.
Okay. Yeah.
Didn't it win Best Picture?
It did.
It did win Best Picture. That's but it was a pretty easy year to win Best Picture. Honestly, there was not much competition.
Even so, a Korean horror movie.
It's not really a horror film.
Yeah,
it's a weird
thriller.
Yeah.
It's very niche, you know, but it's niche and it gained mass appeal. It's just such a well-crafted story and just so unique. And it's got Bong Joon-ho's personal touch that you see in a lot of his other films. He's definitely a director that more people need to become aware of and watch more of his stuff.
Yeah, sure. For sure.
Parasite is great. It's definitely, I could see it being a top 100 film, but I think it would be much lower than where it is on this particular list.
And number 18 is One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, which I still have not seen this movie. Another one I have not seen.
I just watched it for the first time a few months ago.
Did you?
We were going to sit down and watch Ratched.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I hadn't seen the movie before or read the book. And so we sat down and watched it. It's a very good movie.
It's a very good movie. I think it's probably not top 20, but it's very good. I'd probably say top 50.
Yeah.
Okay. 17 is The Empire Strikes Back. Yes.
It's probably a little high, but not by much.
Yeah.
Number 16 is one of my favorite movies of all time. No doubt about it. It's Goodfellas.
That seems like a good spot for it.
It's one of my favorite movies. I can watch it anytime it's on TV or just anytime it's on. I'm mesmerized by it every time. And I've seen it so many times.
It's a fantastic movie. 16th out of top 100. It's a pretty good spot for it.
15 is The Matrix. They probably went into The Matrix to get this high place.
I could see it being top 100, but it's going to be one of those that are at the end of the 100 contending for the spot. Like, it'd probably end up being like number 104 or something.
I mean, again, this is another one that is largely going to be on here for its cultural impact.
Yeah.
Right.
I think a lot of these movies are just for that reason.
I mean, without The Matrix, you don't get all the Underworld movies. You don't get all the Resident Evil movies. Mm-hmm. You don't get a lot of the stuff that came after it.
Right.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
The action-y sci-fi stuff.
I don't know how. I haven't watched it in a really long time. I've seen it a bunch, but I haven't watched it recently.
I watched it last year.
And I'm wondering now, like, does it really hold up at this point?
I mean, the modern world stuff doesn't, but I think if you were born before 1980, you can still appreciate. Born before 1990, you can still totally appreciate what it is. But I think a modern child watching it would be like a little confused by some of the things they see in the movie.
Mm-hmm. Number 14 is The Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers.
It's way too high in my opinion.
Yeah. We talked about it earlier. The good movies, the action scenes are phenomenal, but yeah.
Just the scope of the army fight in Two Towers makes Two Towers worthy of a top 100 spot, mm-hmm. but it should be in like the 70s, 80s maybe. And neither one of the other films should make it onto the list.
So 13 is The Good, the Bad, and the...
The Two Towers is the best one of the series?
I don't think it's the best one. I think it's the most important because of the battle.
Okay.
I can see that.
I think Fellowship's the best one.
These are all going to be higher on...
your personal list, I'm sure they would.
Yeah, I love these movies.
13 is The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. Have you guys seen this?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've seen some of it.
Another movie I watched in my film history class. So if you want to go to college and take a film history class, you'll get to see all these movies you've never seen before and then get a grade for it.
I did that from a completely different perspective. I did it was an art history class.
Oh, yeah.
I did art history and music appreciation.
So, yeah. Well, I mean, art history was part of my degree plan, so...
I did music appreciation, and the very first day my teacher came out and he said, you know, you'll never get anything out of a song beyond like the third or fourth listen. So, and I was like, you don't fucking listen to metal, do you?
No.
this person's teaching music appreciation,
right?
Saying shit like that.
Yeah, so I stopped caring.
Yeah, you should have. You should have dropped the class.
Right, I would have.
Well, it was an easy high grade, so.
All right, moving on. We're almost in the top 10. So number 12 is a little movie called Forrest Gump.
Yeah, it deserves a spot in the top one.
I just
don't know if it would be this high.
I just ate at his restaurant over the weekend in Galveston. The what's the name of the restaurant?
Bubba Gump.
Bubba Gump, yeah. It was okay. It was one of the things open where we were there, so that didn't have like an hour wait. So we ate there. It was okay. There was a lot
I
of...
I would die.
What's up?
I'm allergic to shrimp. I would die.
Oh, yeah. Well, you don't have to eat shrimp if you don't want to.
I won't die, so I won't.
Well, there you go.
Fine, then.
Fine. Don't. Don't do it, man. Number 11 is another movie we just spoke about, The Fellowship of the Ring.
Yeah.
I feel like at this point, like when we get to the Lord of the Rings ones, I think we've said what we needed to say.
Yep.
They're all independent films, but they all sort of are come in a bundle.
Sure. Number 10. We're in number 10.
They were all made at the same time, too, so
right.
That's pretty
spectacular how you could.
It is really cool.
Number 10 is Fight Club. I like Fight Club.
Way too high on this list.
It's way too high. It's a good movie.
It should be on the list, but mm-hmm. not at number 10.
Number 9, Inception.
I hate this movie. I hate it a lot.
I don't like it either.
I like Inception, but I don't think it should be on the top 100. I think there's too many contenders, and I think all the other Nolan films are better than this.
Yep. Number 8, Schindler's List. This one I can agree on. This movie, when it came out in the theater, I went to the theater with my mom and my cousin, I believe. This movie broke me. It was crazy.
Yeah. I mean, most critics' lists would have Citizen Kane as number 1 and Schindler's List as number 2. Mm-hmm. So, it's definitely...
I have never actually seen this movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I mean, you got to be in the mood.
It's black and white like WandaVision.
That's not a selling point. nothing like WandaVision. Don't let him fool
no,
you.
No, it's not. It's a really great movie, actually.
It is a fantastic
one. One of Spielberg's best, really. The use of the lack in the use of color in that movie is really meaningful. That's all I'm going to say about that. Number 7, spoke about this one earlier. Pulp Fiction. Yes,
it's too high, but it's very very good.
I don't know about that.
I don't think it's a top 10 movie of all time. It's a top 20 movie of all time. That's fair, but I don't know about top 10.
Number 6, The Lord of the Rings, The Return of the King. I don't know if I agree with this one. I like Fellowship better, but...
Story-wise, Fellowship is the most interesting book. Cinematography-wise, Two Towers is better than this. I really don't understand why Return of the King's here, except that it's the end of the story.
Sure. I do remember going to see Fellowship of the Ring. It was with my uncle, and it was the first Hobbit movie that came out, and we were sitting there, and then like it sort of cut and went to credits, and there was people in the audience going, "What the hell? Where's the rest of the movie?"
I remember that too. I'm like, yeah, there's people behind me like so mad that it ended where it did.
Yeah.
It was just like, there's two more movies, guys. Calm down.
Yeah. Well, there could have been one movie, but we're not going to go there. Number 5, 12 Angry Men. Angry Men. Another movie I believe I saw in high school sometime somewhere.
I saw it in high school.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's deserving of its top 10 spot. It's a great film.
Yeah. Number 4, and this is where people are going to be like, dude, what is your problem? I've never seen any of the Godfather movies.
I've only seen the first one.
I want to, but I never have.
I have suffered through all of them.
Oh, well, there you go.
Don't get me wrong. They're all fantastic films, but they are so slow.
Yeah.
But it's really hard to gauge where I would put them, and I don't think it would be in the top 10. I mean, as much as they're revered, I feel like they should be in the top 100 for sure, but probably way lower than this just because of how slow they are.
Yeah.
The pacing is just wrong in these films. Like, if you could fix the pacing, these films would deserve their spots, but the pacing is just so fucking slow.
So number three is a movie we discussed earlier too, The Dark Knight.
Absolutely deserving, probably deserving of a top 50 spot, nowhere near top 10.
Yep.
No.
Number two, The Godfather. We just spoke about that. And then number one is another movie I've never seen. I've always wanted to. Is The Shawshank Redemption. I know.
Another Stephen King story.
Yes, it is. Another Frank Darabont movie.
I mean, those same critics I keep talking about with Citizen Kane and Schindler's List, they'd probably put Shawshank in the top five somewhere.
It's very good. I haven't watched it in a long time.
Now that we've looked at this list and there's all these other lists out there, I think what we should do one day is we need to give us enough time to prepare, but we need to come up with our top maybe 15 movies of all time. We can all
our favorite.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm interested to hear what you would say and what Dave would say, and especially what George would say. I think that'd be fun. Exciting to learn.
I'd be interested to see how much overlap there is between me and George.
Yeah, you both like weird shit.
Yeah.
That's okay, though. I learned about weird movies from you guys, so there you go. All right, that was our topic. I do want to talk about, we're not going to do George Shaped Metal, but I do want to talk about some metal real quick. Then we're going to pretty much wrap it up. We're going to wait till George comes back to do anything that's tickling our geek, because we can't tickle our geek without him being here. It just seems wrong. And then we're going to get into some housekeeping, and we're going to go home and go to sleep for the evening, because I'm tired. What about you guys? What have you been listening to recently? Let's talk about like maybe two or three bands that we've all been, you know, jamming recently.
Two or three.
I know it's hard for you to do. We're not going to give you your top 50 of the month.
Well, I mean, the best album of the year so far, undisputed in my opinion, is Harakiri for the Sky's Mare. It's better than anything they've done so far. It's so fucking good. I had high expectations because the pre-release tracks were really, really good.
Yeah.
But I did not honestly expect it to be as good as it is. And like all of their music are albums I listen to like get in the zone for whatever I'm trying to do, whether it's writing or working out or driving or whatever.
Or going out of zone.
Yeah. But I feel like this one is even more so than their previous ones. It's just fantastic.
I don't hate me. I'm going to be honest with you about them. I like their music, but I don't like their vocals.
I love them.
Yeah. I mean, that's just me. I mean, everybody's different.
Oh yeah. There's tons of stuff you like that I'm not such a fan of, yeah. But, I love Harakiri. They're amazing.
I definitely gave this album a chance too.
Aside from them, there's some really great black metal that's come out this month. Edoma has a new album that's really good. Thrawn is really good.
Thrawn?
Malice Divine. Like, Thrawn.
Like Grand Admiral Thrawn?
No, like Throne without an E.
Oh, okay.
Malice Divine, I told you guys about them. And yep. Then the other night I discovered this band called Abstract, and I was raving about them in our chat.
With a K, right?
Abstract with a K.
Yeah.
So they remind me
of... I listened to them today.
What did you think?
It's good, but it's not great.
See, I feel like the first half of the album is great. Like, it reminds me a lot of Brimier, like I was about to say. And I really dig it. I feel like it's a little more black heavy than Brimier stuff is. But then the second half of the album, it just sort of falls apart. Like, there's some weird disjointed things they do. And, like, it left me wanting more. But it's still a pretty good album. It's one of the better things that's come out this year so far. So cool. I still recommend checking it out.
All right, Dave, what about you?
I haven't been listening to as much. Got stuff to catch up on. I listened to some of that Edoma a little bit a few days ago, and some of it today as well. I mean, it's pretty good. I'm enjoying the new Tribulation, Where the Gloom Becomes Sound.
Mm-hmm.
Been listening to
it's a really good album.
The new Sowin Imperial. Mm-hmm. It didn't immediately grab me like their last one did.
Yeah.
But it's still really good.
It feels like on that album, there's like one or two or three really good songs, and the rest of it just feels like they're not really, I don't know, not they're not trying. It's just not as good, you know, as previous stuff.
Yeah.
Not as polished.
Maybe. I don't know about polished, but just the songwriting is not as great.
Yeah, that could be it.
Yeah, it's the songwriting. It's not as strong
as
the last one was. It's still good. It's still Soen doing what they do, and I enjoy that. But the songwriting is not quite there on this one. As far as like post-rock, post-metal stuff, the new God is an Astronaut is pretty decent.
Really?
Yeah.
I have that on my list. I haven't heard it yet.
If you like that whole post rock, post metal thing, you know, I have not listened to them really much before. This is probably the most I've listened to them is this album, but it's kind of something to put on and mellow out to. The new Varjuna album, we haven't really talked about that. It's been out since early January, but it's cool.
Yeah, it really is.
I listened to it a couple times, and it was right after I finished playing Assassin's Creed.
Yeah.
So it just felt like a continuation of that. Well, so I didn't really spend a lot of time with it.
It's the same. He writes a lot of that music in Assassin's Creed Valhalla.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
It felt like a continuation. Well, yeah. And so I just haven't really invested a whole lot of time in it, but it is good.
Yeah, it's cool. Also, one that I only listened to it once, but I really enjoyed it more than I was expecting it to is the new Immortal Guardian, Psychosomatic.
I haven't heard it yet.
Very proggy power metal.
Yeah.
You know who it is?
It's what's their Power Glove?
The guy who's like the main songwriter for Immortal Guardian.
Yes.
I found out about him because he was touring with Power Glove. He was their live guitarist. And I've seen people do things like what he does before, but I've never seen anyone do what he does as well and as bombastically as he does. He will play. He plays keyboard and guitar at the same time and shreds on both at the same time. And it's not even like he's playing mirror lines. He's playing different stuff on each instrument.
Sure.
And he's insane. And that's the kind of shit that this album is. It's just like over the top. It's guitar and keyboard wankery, but like he's so good at it.
Sometimes that's what you want though. You just want some wankery.
It's just fun. It was a fun listen. I feel like the compositions are pretty strong. There's a lot of neoclassical influence in it. I ended up liking it more than I thought I was going to.
So on my list, I have, one of the bands, is a Spanish death doom band called Golgasa. Have you guys heard of them before?
I have them on my list. I have not heard it yet,
though. Yeah, so they just put an EP out called Remembering the Past, Writing the Future. Really good stuff. I wish it was a little bit longer. They've been around since 1995 with their first... Well, the first EP was like in 94. So they've been around for a while. Took a long break, now came back, and they're really, really good. I'm really digging the new Einherjar. It's really, really cool blackened rock and roll. It's really groovy, but it has a lot of black metal element. I think Justin, you would really dig them.
I might have them on my list. Let me check. What are they called?
Einherjar. Einherjar. They've been around for a long time too.
EIEIO.
EIEIO, exactly correct. One of the albums that I am gushing over right now, it just recently came out, I think past week, is the first full-length Metal Blade band called Iotun.
Yeah, you mentioned them last week.
Yeah, I am super into this band right now. They are so, so good. The singer...
The full album's out now.
The full album is out now, yeah. They are the singer is also in a band. I can't think of their name now. It's gonna bug me until I figure it out. Barren Earth is the Barren Earth is he's been on the last two albums, but this band Homford that I've recently gone back and discovered them recently too.
Yeah, I've heard some of their stuff. They're pretty good.
I saw them. They did a live song on the Metal Injection live stream they do each month, and they were the song from there. I'm like, wow, It sounds like the guy from Iotun, and it was. I was like, wow, all right. So I'm totally on board. It's one of my favorite albums of the year so far. It's really, really good. And I listened to the new Evergrey. It's more Evergrey, I will say that.
That's the next one on my list.
Yeah, it's good, but at some point it all starts to sound same-ish, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's a song with the singer from Dream Theater on there. A lot of people are not going to like that, but it's not bad.
James LaBrie is the weakest link in Dream Theater, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he's great in Arion. I guess it's how you use his voice, you know? It's very nasally. So
I will say this, though. He has gotten better with time.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He's figured out what it is he's capable of and what sure. he's not capable of, and he stops experimenting.
Right.
So I'll give him credit for that.
And you're talking about that, was the astronaut band you were talking about?
God is an Astronaut.
God is an Astronaut. So one of the albums I've been listening to recently, it's like very mellow, and it's the new Annika van Giersbergen. The Darkest Skies Are the Brightest. Really cool acoustic, just a chill out album. It's really good. The album that really surprised me, though, that I'm listening to, I've listened to it two or three times so far, is Hermitage from Moonspell.
Oh yeah, I don't know why I forgot to mention that, but yeah,
it's we listened good. To it. We drove up to Galveston last week and we listened to it on the way. And my wife is like, "This does not sound like what I'm used to for Moonspell." And there's one song where he does some heavier vocals, but stuff like that. It's very 80s, you know.
It's also very like old Moonspell.
Yeah, so. It is. It reminded me of like the Butterfly Effect, and even that Extinct album a couple years ago. There's elements from that.
Yeah,
it's I really like it. It's a really good album. I
need to spend more time with it. I've heard it once and I liked it a lot.
Yeah, I heard songs leading up to it when they released. Here's a song. Here's a preview, and I wasn't digging it. But listening to the album and it's the way it's designed, the track listing and everything, it really does work. And it's a really good album.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Speaking of metal still, I hope you guys have some free time on next Tuesday, March the 9th. We're going to be doing our next live stream episode with Riley McShane from Elysion. Super excited for this. He's a big nerd, big time video game player. He actually has his own.
You got to pronounce it correctly if he's going to come on, though. It's Elysion.
Elysion.
Right. Whatever. I call it Elysion. Whatever. All right. Fine. Elysion. I don't want to hang up on me. Which is funny. He just did a live stream. He does the Metal Blade live stream sometimes. And he just interviewed Devin Townsend this week. And there was a lot of technical problems at the end. But, you know, Riley kept on talking about, you know, his touring and his band. And at some point at the very end, he's like, yeah, it was my band Elysion. And Devin's like, he like lit up. He's like, oh, I know your band. I like your band. I'm like, so you did the whole hour interview. You didn't know who the guy was. I was like, that's pretty sure funny.
Devin Townsend probably does a lot of hour long reviews or interviews.
Yes. Yes, totally. It was pretty funny though. He does a really good job on that. So check him out there. He has a video game company we're going to talk about. Talk about all the stuff that they've done during the pandemic and, you know, supporting, you know, creating music during this time and all that good stuff. So I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, Riley's a cool guy. I'm in his Discord where he talks a lot about his game and stuff. He's a very interesting guy. He's got his hand in a lot of different pots,
yes.
You know, he's doing a lot of different stuff. So, hopefully things work out and I'll be able to be here for that one.
Yep. Couldn't do without you, man. We'll figure it out.
We'll see.
All right. Well, thanks everyone for tuning in to episode 195 of the Metal Geeks podcast. We're almost to 200. It's crazy. We're going to get there soon.
What are you going to do for 200?
Nothing. I'm done.
That's the end.
Let's hang it up. No, we're not going to hang it up yet, but I don't know. Am I putting any effort? You know, as Deadpool says, maximum effort. This is minimum effort.
you should save that as the title for episode 200.
Yes, I think
we should all stay up all night and then show up and be like, yeah, guys, hey, how's it going?
200. Yay. All right. I am excited for it though. It's really cool. So of course you can find us on the interwebs at metalgeeks.net or msrcast.com, or you can find both of our shows together there, show notes, past episodes and all that good stuff. We actually, if you search for our RSS feed on any of your podcatchers, look for Metal Geeks or MSRcast, you will find we're on Stitcher and Spotify and Apple Music and all those places. We've actually pulled all the old MSRcast episodes. I think I'm missing like one or two from the archives, but they're all there in the feed. It's really cool. We're on social media at Metal Geeks on all those places. Join us on Facebook in our group at Metal Geek Society. We've been having a lot of fun there. And of course, check us out. It's esonetwork.com. Subscribe to us to the feed there. You can check out all the cool shows that make up the network. And you can listen to us on esonetwork.com and all their RSS feeds as well. Dave, what about you, sir?
Find me at Red Viking Dave on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest, if you like.
Oh, I like. What are you working on right now?
Getting ready to do Sherwood Forest Fair.
Oh yeah.
So
he's going to be in that green outfit. So just look for him there.
Green outfit. Nope. Nope. I am, incredibly glad that I have started my vaccination rounds since we will be going to that event.
Yes, so. Sir. I'm super excited for all my friends that are getting it done right now. Looks like we're reaching a light at the end of the tunnel, you know?
I hope so.
I hope so. I don't know. Maybe. Take two steps forward and then Greg Abbott opens his mouth and we take five.
Wasn't going to go back, there, but yes, you are correct.
Absolutely true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Justin, cool. What about you, sir? Where can people find you? What are you working on?
You can find me as @comicaljc on Twitter and Instagram. And if you'd like to check out the show that I do with George and our friend Andy, it's at Mind Fudge Comedy Podcast. Available on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Spotify, pretty much everywhere podcasts exist. Or you can just go to mindfudgecomedy.com. If you'd like to check out the comic book that I do with George, it's available at graybearcomics.com, graybearcomics.com. It's called Speak No Evil. And issue number 4 is coming down the pipe. So cool. Hopefully before too long.
Exciting. You should start a metal detector Twitter feed.
I'm going to do something. Metal related. I think you should figure out what yet.
Should you create a blog.
Yeah, I thought about doing a blog, kind of like what Sean does.
Yes.
I'm not as eloquent as Sean at describing bands and stuff. Yeah. But I could certainly do snippets of what I like and don't like, and I don't know. I might do something. I'm toying with the idea.
So for the person that's not here, you can check out George, your co-host and then your partner in your comic book, at George Tripsis on all the social medias. Find him there and talk shit to him about his movie choices.
Everybody find him on Twitter and just tweet balls at him.
Yeah, that's right. That's a great, great point. And of course, our good friend, Sean, the Metal Pigeon, he just mentioned, he's at the Metal Pigeon on all the socials. Check out themetalpigeon.com for really insightful and well-written, reviews and articles about heavy metal.
He's probably doing reviews in a way that most of your other metal journalists are not doing.
Agreed.
Definitely.
I think he has a very unique voice.
I totally agree. All right, guys. Well, thanks for hanging out with us on this episode. And as always, we have one last thing we have to say.
Keep it metal.
Keep it geeky.
And balls.
You nailed it. Got it.
Thanks to listening to another fine podcast brought to you by MSR Productions. All rights reserved, blah, 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 blah. For reviews, archives of our podcasts, and all your other metal geekery needs, please visit metalgeeks.net.
Crisis for the geek kind. Top geek officials admit they underestimated the hipster's defense capability. Join the geek revolution and save the galaxy. Geeks from all over the globe are joining up to fight for the future. They're doing their part. Are you? Want to know more? Join Weeby Geeks and the Geek Revolution and save the world. Service guarantees citizenship. Listen to Weeby Geeks Podcast on iTunes and Stitcher or online at weebygeeks.net. Weeby Geeks, your voice for the geek revolution. Want to know more?
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping for the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.